This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Lynn and Ezra right here on the Evening Edition. Take a look at this story with regards to the Road Transport Department, JPJ. They're going to be forming a special committee to look into a proper mechanism to tighten the issue of driving licenses. There was this huge press conference, Lynn. I don't know if you saw it. Anthony Lowe, the transport minister, saying, "We know who you are.
We're coming after you.
We're coming after you." It was really intense. And basically, anybody that's been involved in, you know, the process or the procurement of Lesen Terbang, they're going to be looking very seriously at it.
I mean, this is one of those problems that's endemic to Malaysia, right? Like, we end up laughing at it more often than not. But the truth is, there are a lot of people out on the roads who, I mean, fundamentally, for all intents and purposes, never learned how to drive.
Right. And it was because of the learning process that was implemented, the bad habits that were inculcated on the road, and as a result, we have this situation where people are endangered when it comes to their safety on the road. And so, when it comes to Lesen Terbang, we would love to hear from you. 777-332-900. Once again, 777-332-900. What's your experience with this? You know, I remember getting my driver's license, and everybody. Friends, family asking, so did you? I said, no, I didn't have to. I was great.
But, so indignant.
Yeah, I know. But it's just part of that culture, right? Just the fact that you had to pay almost, even though you were deserving of it or in any other situation. It was just part of this culture that, for all intents and purposes, it needs to be eradicated.
There is that. There is also the fact that, I mean, my license and how I remember getting it, I mean, I think it's part of the exam culture of Malaysia where you're taught just basically how to squeak by and get your license. Yeah. You're not actually taught how to drive.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of check, 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 and then you get your license. And it doesn't mean at all that when you're out there with your P sticker on your car that you really fundamentally know how to conduct yourself on the road.
Because in an ideal scenario, by the time you have that P sticker, you've got X amount of hours clocked under your belt driving in terms of different situations, different highways, different weather conditions.
You're not a menace is what we're trying to get at.
Absolutely.
Which is not the case here. That number, by the way, is apparently 14,000 drivers who are believed to have obtained their licenses via this method, which is, I mean, that's a lot on our highways. Give us a call.
14,000.
Yes, 14,000. Give us a call. That number is 777-332-900. Tell us about your experience of getting your driving license. And again, this is a safe space if you would like to maybe get something off your chest your driving license.
There are some professional moments that are just, ripe for the Evening Edition. 14,000 of you out there might just want to use this opportunity to, maybe just share a story with us.
Just, take a load off.
777-332-900. Of course, we have on the line right now Dr. Rosmi Ismail, Associate Professor at University Kebangsaan Malaysia, specializing in traffic psychology. Dr. Rosmi, thank you very much for joining us on the Evening Edition. Talk to us, what do we know about, the Lesen Terbang Syndicate and who's involved in it?
Basically, it's very easy to understand. It's about demand and supply, Somebody asks, is there a way I can avoid, I'm illiterate people. Oh, I'm foreigners. I'm foreigners. Well, I don't know about your culture. And they cannot understand your language. So is there any way or easy thing that I can get a license? Or for maybe, for rich people or businessmen, they have so much money. I'm a businessman. I'm very busy. I don't have time. So is there any way, to get a license? So this is what we call maybe some of the JPJ officers, driving institute operators, and some politicians. They don't. It's a cherry makan, They become a syndicate because this demand and supply. So they become a syndicate. It's a very good business.
Right. But the director of the road transport, but the road transport director, Shahrudin Khalid, said that some of the holders of these Lesen Terbang may not even be aware of the status of their licenses. Why might that be the case?
That's a special case. I think this is maybe, involved a politician. And, politicians want to, have a political mileage. So for a group of people, they say, okay, don't worry, you will get the license. And for these 40 people, they don't know to get a license, it's not easy. You have to go for proper training and testing. But for them, you know, when they're promised by some, I don't know, VIPs or politicians, or, you know, some people, they say, we'll try to help you as long as you work me. Something like that, you know. Then these people, they don't know. Like, you know, for people in Kampung, you know, orang asli, you know, illiterate people, they don't know that they have to go for a proper training.
Dr. Rosmi, how do you think we should address those loopholes, you know, these loopholes that have allowed a lisen terbang to be issued?
Yeah, I have mentioned this before. You know, because I'm also one of the Ministry of Transport advisor and also consultant for GPG and Driving Institute. So I've mentioned about this before so many times during the meeting. You know, but because we don't have evidence so far, we just heard, you know, we just heard that for some driving institute, they say, oh, the lesen terbang, we just heard, but without investigation, without, you know, proper study about that. So now I think it's time now. I think with the new government, all the parties should sit together. But so far, I'm not being calling by the ministry now. Driving institute, operators, we also have a pool of expertise in driving testing and driving swing driving license. All these parties should sit together and discuss how to overcome this problem. But so far, we're not calling for that. You just mentioned by the minister.
So what are your observations of how the process of obtaining a license in Malaysia compares to obtaining it elsewhere?
Oh, the other country is more, I don't know, maybe in European countries like Britain, Australia, they are tougher than us. You know, I can say, you know, what I can mention it now is that you get the license like you get a degree, you know, that's how they appreciate. Because it took about 1 or 2 years to complete the whole process of getting the driving license. But here in Malaysia, I think if you do a proper thing, then you are, you know, smart enough to pass all the tests, then you think about 2 or 3 months and, you know, you can get license. But in overseas, like you said, Australia, England, you know, they are very, you know, proper training, and you have to go and step by step. If you pass, you are right, you can go to the next step. But if you fail, you have to go back without, you know, any human interference, you know, without, you know, what you call, you know, masuk-masuk di poket, tak ada lah, you know. They are very transparent. That's why once they got the license, it's like they got a degree. It's very appreciative.
Well, Dr. Rosmi, thank you very much for your perspective. That was Dr. Rosmi Ismail, Associate Professor. That's at the School of Psychology and Human Development at UKM. You know, we've been you know, talking about lesen terbang. It's something that's so, you know, as you heard from Dr. Rosmi, it's something that's just ingrained in our system, in our culture. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio as well. I've got some messages, Lynn.
We do. Faisal from Bangi says, echoing Ezra, I passed with flying colours. Lesen terbang flers need to be stoned. That's a very sort of, yeah, we went there. I don't know why.
Went straight to the Old Testament kind of approach.
Yeah.
No, but I get what you mean, Faisal. Like, you know, it was very much something that was, you know, so you know, it's quite consistent, isn't it? And actually, one of the things that, you know, that has come to mind with regards to this entire thing is it takes a lot of political will and gumption, I guess, on the part of the Transport Ministry as well as the relevant departments to take this on as seriously as they are. Because it could have been very easy to sort of skirt this in a different way, right? They could have just approached it, well, we're going to increase the quality of, you know, drivers via the instructors. There could have been all sorts of ways, but they were serious about this, and I think that should be applauded to some degree.
Yes, because it's a generational problem at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, you have people whose kids are going to be taking their driving test soon, and
right.
who probably themselves paid for their driving license. So it's going to be a problem. You
yes.
know, you get used to this idea, well, this is how I get my license.
Yeah, well, 03-77-33-2900. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We've got Sabrina on the line, and of course, trying to hear a little bit more about your experiences in getting your driver's license, Sabrina.
Yes, I got my license when I was 17 and a half after SPM, and my driving instructor just left me to drive at Stadium JB.
Yeah.
And then when my mom checked upon me. He was like, hey, where's my daughter? Oh, she's there, you know, like, she's given up on me. Okay? How to read spotting and all that. So I got my license after a few tests. I didn't fail on the first try. So I drove for another maybe 13 years. And then I moved to Australia. So because I was a permanent resident in Australia, I have to change my license to an Australian Queensland license.
And their process is pretty intensive, isn't it?
Oh, I didn't know that. I'm so experienced. I'm a Malaysian driver. You know? Back then, when they failed me twice, I couldn't take it.
Yeah,
I
said,
discrimination.
So right.
I changed the center, and then my friend said, look, you got to accept it. The standard is different here. And I was failed for not having the shoulder check.
Oh, wow. No, they take that shoulder check super, like my brother has the same issue about the shoulder check.
I thought, what the hell is that? I don't know. Oh, and then when you turn left, you know, you have to do a shoulder check, even though there's nobody there. You got to check for the cyclist, you know, let the cyclist in. And for as Malaysians, you couldn't care less.
You've already checked in the rear mirror. Yeah. Is shoulder check really that necessary? But, you know, for Australians, they take that very seriously. And rightfully so.
So I had to hire a driving instructor and paid, I think, $250 just so that I know what are the things, the do's and don'ts the road exam. And, thank God, the third try, I changed the center because I didn't like the two previous centers, right? They failed me. So I thought, okay, I'm going to try another one. So this is the third one. He sort of kesian me, you know. It's like, oh my God, if I don't pass, you will never pass. So
Sabrina,
I kissed his hand.
Wow.
That's gratitude.
Yeah.
Sabrina, after all this, do you feel that, you know, that whole process made you a better driver?
Yes. I actually stopped for pedestrians in Malaysia. All right, because it's a federal offense. If you just run down a pedestrian, especially in the school zones, they have made it standard between 2 o'clock to 3:30 or 4 o'clock. I think you cannot drive past 40 kilometers per hour.
Right,
at the school zone. And then you have to stop for pedestrians. You know the zebra crossing? Nobody knows what it means in Malaysia. That's actually a major thing. So I actually give way now when people signal.
And I share that entire experience with you in terms of, you know, my respect for the zebra crossing changed probably in 2007 because I was driving in Canada for about 2 years. And it not only does it feel good, you know, it just makes a lot of sense in terms of just pure safety. I know it sounds simplistic, but just from a pure safety point of view, slow the heck down when you're approaching a zebra crossing.
In my professional work, I'm a rehab physician. So one of my jobs is to actually make sure that my brain injured and stroke patients or amputee or spinal cord injured patients, they have to undergo the pre-driving assessment test. And it's not only an on-driving, on-the-road exam. It's actually the off-the-road. We actually have to check neurologically their vision, their hearing, their balance, their musculoskeletal and all that. And I think if Anthony Loke is serious, he should make it compulsory for anyone with Malaysian driving license, regardless the pre-9th of May 2018 or post, you need to undergo another test. Seriously, everybody needs to go through that. And they have to have a psychological and behavioral test before that as well.
Well, Sabrina, thank you very much for calling in and sharing your experience with us. Perseverance is what I got away from that conversation 3 times in terms of taking the driving test in Australia.
I am feeling frightened that I'm going to have to retake my license. I mean, I'll pass. I'm pretty sure of that, but still, nevertheless.
We've got another caller on the line, but before we get to that, if you want to chime in, that's 7733-2900. That's the number to call for Talk Back. Nava is on the line. Hi, Nava.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening. We're talking about Lesen Terbang. What's your story?
My Lesen Terbang story is very simple. I started driving when I was 12 years old.
Oh, dear.
But, you know, with all the experience when I went for my driving test at 23 years, right, in Malaysia, I failed it 5 times.
You failed it 5 times. You were better than Sabrina.
But failing it 5 times and going through the process actually polished up all my bad driving experiences. Oh, you know, the days I was driving without license in Malaysia.
Yeah.
And in India and this and that places, right? And, you know, the best teacher is you to fail. If you fail, if your instructor fails you, then you are on your guard. Hey, why did I fail? How do I get myself do the right thing? That kind of thing. But to say now, driving instruction in Malaysia and then the driving test and so on, it is Bole pass, that kind of story.
Yeah,
see?
Yeah.
So the real driving learning does not happen, okay? But
yeah.
They get a license maybe in about 30 days or, you know, just wait for the test day and then you should have passed lah. And this, I'm not even talking about the terbang. I'm just talking about the people who got their license going through the test process.
Yes, that's right.
Terbang is somebody sends you by post and then you have it in your hand.
Well, Nava, thank you so much for calling in and contributing to this confessional nature of the evening edition and for sharing your story with us. Thank you very much, Nava.
I really think that's a great way to approach failing a driving test as an opportunity to better yourself, right? Which is how we should be thinking
about
it.
And also check yourself a little. You know, whatever confidence and swag you got going on, 3 times Sabrina failed, Nava failed 5 times.
After driving since he was 12, mind you.
I know.
Yeah.
Also, just that sentence was, for me, that really encapsulates the day. I started driving at 12. I mean, that story, that's always a good thing.
Yes. I also think that it's a good time to, bust out a phrase that really works. Check yourself before you wreck yourself.
That's right. Folks, thank you very much for all your texts, tweets, and calls. Please continue that. If you don't know our new number, it's 7733 2900. We'd love to hear from you on the evening edition. That's all from us. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.